Welcome to everybody. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. My name is Sandra Pollock, in case you've not met me before. And I, along with Leanne Bonacook, are going to be the hosts for today's webinar. So the title of or the theme for 2024 for Shine Together CIC and everything we do is inspiring inclusion. So this webinar, that's going to be the main topic of our conversation. But before that, we're going to introduce ourselves. So I'm going to talk a little bit about me, then I'm going to let Leanne introduce herself. So I am founder of several companies, the main ones being Open Mind Training and Development. And what I do there is around leadership management, organizational change, diversity and inclusion. So that is from consultancy training to executive level coaching. In addition to that, I'm also co-founder of Shine Together CIC, and under Shine Together is the Women's Awards, which has been going for a good few years now, since 2017. And this is a part of the work that we do. I'm very passionate about Shine, its purpose to provide a place for women and girls to find the information that they need, get the recognition, for us to celebrate the achievements that they have done in their lives and careers, and also find a community of support to help us. Science has proven again and again that for women to progress, their best way of progression is finding a safe space, a good group of people that they can talk to, change information, and support each other. So our goal at Shine is to provide that both as an online place, but also with face-to-face events as well. So I'm going to hold off there for a moment and introduce my partner in crime and other good things, Leanne Bonacook, MBE.
Hello, so welcome. And so for those of you who don't know me, I'm an entrepreneur of tech-based businesses historically. So I have been the founder of startup tech businesses, taken them to over £1 million in revenues, and then exited those businesses. So that's my background. What that's led me to do now in my next step of my career is to focus on coaching and mentoring leaders of the future. And my ethos around that comes from around people. So I just think, you know, it's your people and your teams and your understanding of them, about how you motivate them, how you get the best out of them, and how you really drive the performance of those teams and people. And the only way you can do that is by understanding what their core values are and what drives and motivates them. So that's what I'm about today. Why did I get involved with Shine Together? Well, for me, being a female, and I've worked within tech but also within construction for a long time, and there are absolutely barriers. And I like to think that for me, diversity is all the pieces of the jigsaw, which I think a lot of companies do very, very well. And the inclusion part is when they all fit together seamlessly and people work together well. And that's a bit where I still think that there is work required, hence the theme inspiring inclusion. So I think that they, for me, are very different. That's what Shine Together is all about. It's a membership organisation, and we have different levels of membership. And the Women's Awards, as Sandra said, is a big part of that, which again is about rewarding and recognising great female leaders that we have within our business community. But today is about our panelists. So we've got a 40-minute Q&A session now with the panels. There is a Q&A box at the bottom of your screen, so you can ask questions yourself, which we'll pick up on throughout the day. But first of all, I'd like to introduce our panel members. So the first panel member that I'd like to introduce is Ian Caldwell.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me. I'm Ian Caldwell, as Leanne said, and I'm Chief Executive of Memphis. We're a charity that support children with disabilities across Leicester, Leicestershire and Rutland.
Thank you, Ian. Great to have you on board. The next panelist we're going.
Yeah, go ahead.
The next panelist we're going to introduce is Sarah Blackwell. Good morning, Sarah.
Hi, good morning. I'm Sarah Blackwell. I'm Business Support Director at a company called PCE, which is a £65 million turnover construction company. I lead digital transformation in PCE, and I'm very passionate about driving change through people. I won the Women's Inspirational Female Leader for West Midlands in the Women's Award and also the STEM Award, which is why I'm involved with Shine here today.
Thank you.
Well done, right. Well deserved.
Yeah, very well deserved. And maybe you can talk a little bit later about the impact in that and what it meant to you. I'd like to introduce Gina Samuel Richards. Welcome, Gina.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Gina Samuel Richards. I'm a director and solicitor at AGR Law. We were established in 2016. We try to do a lot around inclusion, where we have work experiences, we have pilots with the universities to get people from certain diaspora into law. And we like to go out and talk to students, whether they're at school, university or college, just trying to widen the horizons into the profession. I've been very loosely involved with Shine because I actually won an award this year at the Women's Award for Outstanding Female BAME Leader. So I was quite happy to actually receive that award, because I've been seriously involved in doing quite a lot of work within different communities since sort of last 20 years or so.
Thank you, Gina.
Well done. And our next panel member is Martin Heatley.
Hello, I'm the CEO for Smith's Group, which is a family van business operating across the UK, over £200 million turnover, been around for 125 years. I've had the job for 6 years, which is lovely. And my job's to drive growth and put a foundation in place so that 125 years from now, we continue to be a family van business. I'm an accountant. I have an MBA. And
can you start up this and the modal, so
and I'm passionate about in the workplace and developing talent. Thank you.
We had a bit of feedback there. Can I ask people that aren't speaking maybe to put themselves on mute as well? Thank you. And the next panel member that we are inviting along is David Major. And David also sits as part of our Shine Together CIC. He's one of our board members. So welcome, David.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Yes, David Major, Creative Direction. We're a full service design and marketing agency. We were founded in 1990, so we've been trading over 30 years. So we've seen a lot of changes in business since that time. I've been involved with the Women's Awards and Shine for probably about 4 years now. And we've been headline sponsor, I think, twice. So we've worked with Sandra on branding for both departments. We've worked on the websites as well. So we're delighted to be involved at so many levels. Thank you.
Thank you, David. And have we...
Finally, but certainly not least,
Tony Robinson.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm going to apologise about my cold in advance. Apologies, everybody. So my name's Tony Robinson. I'm a managing director of Nucleus HR. I have been for 6 years. I also own that business. I have over 25 years experience within the HR sector. And I'm involved with Shine to help promote, support and champion that sort of inclusivity and diversity that your mission is achieving. And I'm proud to be associated with Shine for that. So thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. One of the things before we go into throwing questions at our panelists and putting them on the spot, one of the things that we also wanted to do is to sort of officially launch the website for Shine Together. It's been open. We've got members already. As Leanne said, it's a membership group, society, community, and there are different levels. And the reason why we have different levels is so we're really passionate about trying to ensure that everyone, wherever you are in your career or business, you can have an opportunity and a place to progress and to grow. So I just want to put that in there. And a part of what we do is to work with partners to ensure that we have in our knowledge hub, which is a part of the website, all of the information, videos. This is probably one of the things that's going to be in our Knowledge Hub for different members to be able to access, so that all the things that our panelists share about their experience, their goals and their businesses will be available to our members, some of our members to share there as well. So I just wanted to put that in there. I think we are, just to get our panelists sitting straight in our seats, we're gonna begin to throw some questions to start our discussion going. And I think that Leanne's got our first question, so I'll go over to you, Leanne.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to aim my first question at Ian Caldwell, and please feel free at the end, other panel members, to chip in. But Ian, my question for you is, what does inspiring inclusion mean to you?
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me. I'm Ian Caldwell, as Leanne said, and I'm Chief Executive of Memphis. We're a charity that support children with disabilities across Leicester, Leicestershire and Rutland.
Thank you, Ian. Great to have you on board. The next panellist we're going to introduce is Sarah Blackwell. Good morning, Sarah.
Hi, good morning. I'm Sarah Blackwell. I'm Business Support Director at a company called PCE, which is a £65 million turnover construction company. I lead digital transformation in PCE, and I'm very passionate about driving change through people. I won the Women's Inspirational Female Leader for West Midlands in the Women's Award, and also the STEM Award, which is why I'm involved with Shine here today.
Thank you.
Well done, right. Well deserved.
Yeah, very well deserved. And maybe you can talk a little bit later about the impact in that and what it meant to you. I'd like to introduce Gina Samuel Richards. Welcome, Gina.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Gina Samuel Richards. I'm a director solicitor at AGR Law. We were established in 2016. We try to do a lot around inclusion, where we have work experiences, we have pilots with the universities to get people from certain diaspora into law. And we like to go out and talk to students, whether they're at school, university or college, just trying to widen the horizons into the profession. I've been very loosely involved with Shine because I actually won an award this year at the Women's Award for Outstanding Female BAME Leader. So I was quite happy to actually receive that award, because I've been seriously involved in doing quite a lot of work within different communities since the last 20 years or so.
Thank you, Gina.
Well done. And our next panel member is Martin Heatley.
Hello, I'm the CEO for Smith's Group, which is a family van business operating across the UK. Over £200 million turnover, been around for 125 years. I've had the job for 6 years, which is lovely. And my job's to drive growth and put a foundation in place so that 125 years from now, we continue to be a family van business. I'm an accountant. I have an MBA. And
can you start up this morning? And the modal, so
and I'm passionate about in the workplace and developing talent. Thank you.
We had a bit of feedback there. Can I ask people that aren't speaking maybe to put themselves on mute as well? Thank you. And the next panel member that we are inviting along is David Major. And David also sits as part of our Shine Together CIC. He's one of our board members. So welcome, David.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Yes, David Major, Creative Direction. We're a full service design and marketing agency. We were founded in 1990, so we've been trading over 30 years. So we've seen a lot of changes in business since that time. I've been involved with the Women's Awards and Shine for probably about 4 years now. And we've been headline sponsor, I think, twice. So we've worked with Sandra on branding for both departments. We've worked on the websites as well. So we're delighted to be involved at so many levels. Thank you.
Thank you, David. And have we...
Finally, but certainly not least,
Tony Robinson.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I am going to apologise about my cold in advance. Apologies, everybody. So my name is Tony Robinson. I'm a managing director of Nucleus HR. I have been for 6 years. I also own that business. I have over 25 years experience within the HR sector. And I'm involved with Shine to help promote, support and champion that sort of inclusivity and diversity that your mission is achieving. And I'm proud to be associated with Shine for that. So thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. One of the things before we go into throwing questions at our panelists and putting them on the spot, one of the things that we also wanted to do is to sort of officially launch the website for Shine Together. It's been open. We've got members already. As Leanne said, it's a membership group, society, community, and there are different levels. And the reason why we have different levels is so we are really passionate about trying to ensure that everyone, wherever you are in your career or business, you can have an opportunity and a place to progress and to grow. So I just want to put that in there. And a part of what we do is to work with partners to ensure that we have in our knowledge hub, which is a part of the website, all of the information, videos. This is probably one of the things that's going to be in our knowledge hub for different members to be able to access, so that all the things that our panelists share about their experience, their goals and their businesses will be available to our members, some of our members to share there as well. So I just wanted to put that in there. I think we are, just to get our panelists sitting straight in our seats, we're gonna begin to throw some questions to start our discussion going. And I think that Leanne's got our first question, so I'll go over to you, Leanne.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to aim my first question at Ian Caldwell, and please feel free at the end, other panel members, to chip in. But Ian, my question for you is, what does inspiring inclusion mean to you?
I think it's a great place to start that, really. I think the amazing thing that I see working for Memphis is we work with so many children, boys and girls, and also with young adults, young women, young men. And despite their disability, they have got so much talent. There's so much untapped talent out there that businesses should really be looking at how they can broaden their inclusivity to find that talent and get that talent working for them. And I think that inspirational bit comes from when you meet somebody who shows you something and you go, wow, I didn't think they could do that. And we often create barriers and expectations around people based upon some preconceived idea about what they can do. And I think from there, it's about challenging the norms and ways of working to create space and opportunities for the people in our teams and in our communities to really enable them to show those talents and those gifts. And then I think finally, it's about continually encouraging and inspiring colleagues and business leaders to consider the benefits of that diversity and inclusion at every opportunity and to champion the ideas that, you know, individuals don't always have to think exactly the way we do. And that's where that inspiration really comes from for me.
Brilliant. Thank you, Ian. And a question that I have then relating to what you've said there is, but it's really interesting that we do sometimes lack inclusivity, particularly around disabilities that we don't understand. And it's like, how do we broaden our understanding about those disabilities? Because if we don't know, we don't know how to handle people with certain disabilities, we tend to then avoid rather than include. So that's the experience that I see in business today. So how do we begin to overcome that and educate businesses more widely?
Well, if I can start with perhaps a story of some of the work that Memphis are doing. We're currently working with Caterpillar around our own employability program. We did a pilot before COVID and we've just relaunched it in October to say that myself and the team, and actually the team at Caterpillar, are blown away with what's happened is an understatement. So we've three young men that have gone to Caterpillar to get work experience. They've been there for 6 weeks, a day a week, and the staff, the management at Caterpillar have been absolutely amazed by what those young men have achieved, and they've got significant learning disabilities to the extent that one of the young men is likely to be offered an internship. Now, one of the things that we've done within the programme is we've supported Caterpillar in terms of developing and delivering disability awareness training to the staff and the mentors at Caterpillar. And that's really a fundamental. And I do think if you think about the spectrum of diversity that we're thinking about, boys and girls, women, young men, older employees, both male and female, people of different ethnicities, we probably actually have to go out and educate ourselves a little bit. And by broadening our own horizons, then we can take that learning into our workplace and do the same with our own staff and colleagues.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a tremendous achievement and amount of work. So I do a lot of work myself with supporting organizations to be a little bit more brave in terms of expanding their reach and their view to include people from different, and I use that broadly, perspectives, experiences, cultures, etc. And sometimes it can be a hard thing to sell. I'm not sure what your experience has been, but in terms of the work that you're doing, Ian, has it sometimes been a hard sell to some organisations?
It is a hard sell, and I think much of it is born out of fear. There can be a lot of fear about difference. That person's not like me, so I'm not sure how I should react and behave. But we've got to help people overcome those fears, and I think we overcome fear through education, through sharing ideas, and along with that, bringing people together.
That's a great answer. I like that one, and I totally agree. I agree with that. Okay. Please, if any of the other panelists have a view or a question on a question that's been raised, I encourage you to sort of share that.
There are questions coming in via the Q&A as well, which we'll pick up on at the end of the panel's questions. So thank you for putting them in. Keep doing it, and we'll pick them up at the end.
Great, thank you. Okay, so my next question then, I'm going to point this one at Sarah Blackwell. How do you ensure that within your organisation, everyone feels included?
Okay, it's a good question, and I've given some thought to my answer here. But I think, first of all, I'd like to say that I am really lucky that I work for an exceptional business with a unique culture. And that really helps. We've got a very strong family feel. There's no politics and everyone is accepted for who they are. And we very much encourage cross divisional collaboration and individual input. We do have quite a broad range of employees, age, diversity, gender diversity, and racial diversity as well. So, we have to make sure that everybody is included. And I think we do lots and lots of things to ensure that that inclusion is there. But there are four key ones that I really wanted to share as part of this discussion. And the first one that I want to talk about is our values. And I think that's the most important one because it weaves through everything that we do. We spent a lot of time as a business creating those values to ensure that they are really meaningful. And the first one of those is humble, and that's about empathy, respect, appreciation of each other, being a team player. The second one is honest, and that's about being authentic and true to who you are as an individual, and also having the confidence to give and receive honest feedback, to your colleagues. Hungry is about drive to achieve and passion for the vision. And then smart, which is very much about people, knowing how to treat people, and that sort of emotional intelligence piece. And we genuinely live and breathe those values at PCE. Everybody knows what they are. Everybody knows what they mean. We recruit against them. We measure against them. And we constantly promote them. And then the other thing that we've done is focus on leadership development. So we've invested very heavily as a business in leadership development. And that's a program that's run from the C-suite right down to lower management. It's a 12-month program that focuses really on leadership behaviors, and again, very much weaving through our values, and inclusion and diversity is a really big part of this. We use profiling tools to help us to understand our own behavioural traits and our core strengths. And we share these with each other so we can get a better understanding of how each other works, how each other thinks, and actually become more accepting of the diversity in our organisation. And that's really made quite a noticeable difference to behaviours across the whole business. We also have a steering group, which is an employee committee that has representation from all areas of the business, and they come together monthly, and they're very much the voice of the people within PCE. And that's proved to be quite a powerful in strengthening our inclusion culture. And then the last thing I want to talk about is that we are an EOT business. So we are owned by our employees, and we're all equally rewarded on that basis. And we all strive towards that common goal. So, and that's to make ourselves and our business the best that it can be. And everybody is bought into that. Everybody is excited about the journey that we're going on. And I think, you know, we can demonstrate that. We were listed in the Sunday Times as the best place to work in 2023. So I think it's an amalgamation of all of those things that really sort of drive that inclusion, acceptance of diversity, etc., that makes us very strong as a business.
Wow, there is so much in that I would love to look at in terms of the values, you know, leadership development, the ERT. You know, that in itself would drive people to say, I own this company, I'm a part of this. So actually, it's important that the company succeed. So that's some really powerful things there. I love, you know, the values. And in terms of the work that I do, one of the things that we do, a lot of organizations have values. But what I liked about what you spoke about is that the other side of having bad values is actually demonstrating and talking about, well, what does this mean in terms of behaviors? How do we live this? And then, you know, you can measure each person's, you know, productivity and behavior by how are they living these values. So I love that. Absolutely love that. So I can see why your organization is doing as well as it is. It's really exciting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sarah. Really insightful. The next question then is going to Gina. So Gina, have you got an example of a time where you have felt both included and excluded? And how did it make you feel? And what was the overall impact on you personally and professionally?
Well, so an example of being excluded is quite hard to pin one example down. So I'm going to just say my life. and the issues are is that people seem to want to choose to focus on one of your protected characteristics, whether that's down to your sex, your race, or your religious identity. It's one of those always seems to come up for me. So, and the way that it impacted on me is that it made me feel quite wary about society growing up, and even coming into the workplace, it made me feel very wary, somewhat mistrustful, a level of fear, especially going into the workplace for the first time, because you are worried about this being discriminated against. You're being worried about being treated unfairly. You've been worried about being sacked for no reason. Thankfully, never actually happened. You know, if I've ever been sacked, it's because redundancies or things like that, which is quite understandable for organizations. But the fear is still there. You still carry it within yourself. And there is a thing about not ever seeming to be able to meet this generic standard of what's expected of us. You know, if you look at how women are portrayed in the media, it's a certain sort of woman that's been portrayed in the media, you know, and that was never a reflection of how I looked growing up. You know, now because of the awareness raising and the education and the discussions, that is starting to change somewhat. But, and you know, and it's great for my daughter growing up, she's 10, and I've been able to sort of, she's been able to see herself in the media, and I've been able to have those conversations with her and get her to love herself for the way that she looks now. But I didn't have that growing up at all. But I never let, and there is a thing about being othered, but I never let that stop me. I always felt like I have something to give. I have my own experiences. I have my own knowledge. You know, I'm a professional. So I've always tried to get into organizations or societies one way or another to try to make change, to try to bring about opportunities for other people. So one of the ways that I did that was by joining the Leicestershire Law Society about five years ago now. And I joined as the only Black person in the whole of the society, in the main management committee. And I was able to demonstrate, you know, skills of how to better the society, how to bring in more members, you know, helping with the infrastructure and governance and things like that. And because I was able to demonstrate this skill set, I was then asked to become president. And then I took that journey. So I've just finished as immediate past president. So I was president for 2022 to 2023. And in that time, I was able to demonstrate betterment of the society. So, you know, the lifeblood of the society is more members. So we brought some new law firms and individual members. I was able to bring in new patrons. You know, I was able to get more sponsorship for the events that we did. And actually increase the main committee as well and the diversity within the main committee. So I did all of that. But to be asked to do that, it was somewhat of a, oh, you see me, you see my skill set. You whatever, you know, perception you may have had of someone who looks like me, that's obviously been positive on meeting me, sort of thing. So I was actually felt that I could actually bring that and actually be myself. And I did that for the society. I had a very different year to what most presidents have. And I was able to bring who I am, my culture, my background to the society and actually make it a success. So I thought, you know, and that's how you get, you know, you're both included and excluded, I suppose, but just trying to make the positive of all the situations and to break down barriers where they come about.
And again, a similar theme that's running through really is it's about that breaking down barriers. It's through really educating other people, isn't it, into, you know, that we actually are the same and we are capable no matter what our sex, race and religion is. But it's amazing that the way we're treated like hones in on those fears in the first instance, which is what develops us to feel excluded in that way. So, you know, great work and, you know, really proud that you went to the Law Society and managed to make a difference there. So well done. Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. And, you know, definitely it's coming through for me and about not letting society influence you negatively or hold you back. And this is whoever you may be, but actually demonstrate who you are. Decide that for yourself and demonstrate who you are. So, Martin, I'm coming to you. So your business heritage stems from, and you mentioned this, a strong family roots. So how do you, with that background, with that heritage, how do you ensure that people who come to work with you who are not part of that family history and roots, how do you ensure that they feel and experience being a part of that business and actually maybe a part of the family?
Yeah, so I mean, the previous generation of Smiths put the foundations in place when they decided the CEO would not be a family member. So I'm not a family member. And the current generation then decided in the structure document to explicitly state that the business would be a meritocracy and that family members would be employed, but appropriate to the skills they have. I guess having an external CEO means there's someone, you know, who's a little bit arm's length to say, well, you're not the best person for the job. Board balance is always very important. So certainly, you know, it's beholding on me to look out for voting blocks that sometimes happen in families. And, you know, to explicitly challenge when they're created. And ensure that boards are balanced with non-family members, you know, also being able to have a sway. And as we grow into a larger business, we've doubled in size over the past 5 years. As we grow into a larger business, embracing a more accepting culture. You know, we have I'm pleased to say that our senior board has for the past 6 or 7 years been balanced between male and female. I think ethnicity is a little bit more challenging when you're a family business, because you know, the Smiths come from a white working class background, and so you know, considering that can sometimes be a challenge. But the business, like the rest of the UK, is struggling to recruit good staff. And I look at the staff that we have. We work in a male-oriented, heavy industry sort of background. And, you know, we have historically employed white, heterosexual, working class, you know, men. And now we have a problem recruiting. So it's a lovely, easy conversation to have, which is, if we want to solve this, don't just have men, don't just have white, don't just have working class, don't just have heterosexual. And you can suddenly grow your customer base by, you know, 16 times. And it's very disappointing. You know, liberals, people who are progressive, often have targets on their back in society from, shall I say, less progressive people, people who did all the heavy lifting in their sort of 20s and 30s when the world was a much worse place. And then suddenly they find they're in the wrong seat and on the wrong side of history. But, you know, if you can actually take what we all know, which is diverse organizations that don't have groupthink will be more successful in the world out there. And you actually just start talking about economics. People get on board very quickly. People get on board very easily. And diverse organizations only really work if everyone's on board. You know, you can't force, unfortunately, we'd all love to, you can't force diversity on people if they've got closed minds. So you need to open their minds. They need to meet people who they've never met before, you know, meet people with backgrounds that they've never met before. And they need to recognize and understand that, you know, alternative ways of thinking and cooperative work generates the right results. And then suddenly everyone's into inclusivity because everyone's better off as a result of it. So, you know, it's almost an open door, but sometimes you can push too hard. Sometimes you need people to open the door for you. But as soon as you start saying, well, let's get someone with a different view into this room, you know, who might give you a different slice, might give you a different aspect on life. As soon as you start doing that, you know, everyone is suddenly very, very welcoming. And the largest part of the group has as a sort of strapline staff stock service, and they genuinely believe in that. So talking to them about fairness, talking to them, is this an environment which, you know, you'd want your daughter to work in? And so they look at you and go, no, it's not. And, you know, suddenly family values, traditional family values, lead to inclusivity, because you say, okay, well, with that picture up there, with that, you know, topless calendar, you're creating an environment that isn't suitable for your daughter, that is misogynistic. And I know nobody's doing it on purpose, but we can on purpose create an environment where you'd be proud for your daughter to come and visit you. Yeah. So sometimes it's easier when you work in a business with family values, because you can talk about the next generation. And I see the next generation regularly. So I can say, you know, would Caroline be happy working here? No, Caroline wouldn't be happy working here. Well, how does that make you feel as a dad? Well, a bit embarrassed, really. Well, shall we fix it? You know, and they're the easy first steps that you can do to get diversity, inclusivity, and essentially fairness in the workplace. It's easy. We just all need to do it.
Absolutely. Tony, go ahead, please.
I couldn't resist. I'm sorry, Martin. For those that don't know, I also work with as an outsourced consultant for Smiths and Talbots and Airplants, which is the organisation that Martin represents. And I paid a bit of attention to your question too. I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry. But I think there's two points. You make great points there, and you have made great strides in where we were 6 years ago to where we are today. But there are a couple of things that I think have really, really helped. And you've developed that in terms of having that non-family members involved in the company's vision and values has been hugely valuable to that organisation. And you've encouraged them to create ideas and initiatives that align with those goals. You've been, and all of the team at all of the organisations feel they can contribute to that. And it doesn't matter whether you're a family member or not. It now feeling like that's all but irrelevant because you've created that open environment. But the other thing I think you do particularly well that you didn't mention today is that you all celebrate your successes together. And every couple of years, you pull everybody together. And that's over 400, 500 people coming up to now. You pull them all together at an event and you celebrate their successes. And it's nothing to do with the fact that you're a Smith. It's to do with the fact that you have been successful at work. And I think that has really helped in creating those good milestones. Sorry.
Right. You see more in me than I see in myself. So thank you very much.
And I think that's common as leaders, though, isn't it? We tend to just do the job in hand and not really focus on the what we're doing and how valuable some of that work is. So really absolutely. Interesting. Ian, absolutely. I can see that you've got an opinion on that. Do you want, I bring you in?
Yeah, it was just a really interesting point that Martin made about the sector that he's working in, and it's heavy industry, and it generally attracts male applicants to fill vacancies and the roles in the business. Conversely, the charity that I run, there are three men work for Memphis. There's myself. I work on a full-time basis. I've got a club leader who is a man who works on a part-time basis, and I've got a part-time volunteer. But the other 69 people who work full-time or part-time for the charity are women. And I think there's a challenge to all businesses, particularly with the challenges around recruitment and lack of labour resources for all of us, is how do we make our roles attractive? So the gender norms that might have existed for a long time, those roles become interesting to all genders, all types of people. I think that's a significant challenge for businesses. How do we get to a situation where everybody might consider a role in a given type of business?
Yeah, very, very good point, and absolutely two different ends of the spectrum, really, in terms of what the issues are with relation to both inspiration, but diversity and inclusion and getting people to get involved and to be a part of the organisations. And just before we move on, I want to pick on Martin just a little bit more. And because Martin won this year's 2023 Outstanding Male Supporting Female Development. And sorry to embarrass you, but I'm going to do this. He's like, you know, when his name was called, he's like, well, yeah, I don't think I deserve this. I don't see how I deserve this. But actually, if anybody listened to what you just talked about and how you've created and changed your business and made it a lot more inclusive for everybody, that would demonstrate that the 12 judges that came to that decision were right in making that decision. And what we want through all of our businesses is examples of how we can, as business people, community, change our world for the better and move away from this just focused on the profit. You know, that sort of generation, I think, and look, profit's good. We all need it. You know, this is how we live. But there's more to being profitable and successful than just the money. The money is important, but it's about quality of life, isn't it? It's about quality of life experiences. So, you know, I just wanted to make that point and to say, you know, continue all of you to do the great stuff that you're doing. Sarah, your hand's up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. I think one of the things that Martin mentioned there was like asking people in the business, how would you feel about your daughter working here? And one of the things that we do at PCE is we run an EMPS, which is an employee net promoter score. And we ask the question twice a year at PDR time of every employee in the business, how likely would you be to recommend PCE to your family and friends as a great place to work? And that's a really good measure of how people feel about the business and working for the business. You know, we take that information, and it's very rarely about money. you know, that's generally at the bottom of the list. It is about work-life balance. It is about that inclusion. It is about, you know, how they feel from a well-being perspective. It's all of those things, really. And then we take that away and we analyse that data and you know, put steps in place to, you know, to demonstrate to the business that we've listened to what they want, we've listened to what they've said, and we've made some changes as a result of that. And, you know, we've been lucky enough to see our EMPS score grow over the past 5 years, and we're now what's classed as we achieve world class in that EMPS score, which I think, you know, is a real accolade. But it's great. It's a great way for people to have a voice and say what they think. And as a business and leaders of that business, you have to be prepared to hear what they're saying and really understand what it is they're saying and then do something about that.
Completely agree with you, Sarah. And I think we used to do something similar in the businesses that I've run before. So we've used tools to do that employee engagement and net promoter score as well. And I think it gives everybody a say, and it really helps you understand, not from just a managerial and a leadership perspective, but right the way down through the organisation. And one of the things that we used to have as a result of that was, you know, encourage ideas coming forward. But it was the use, so that it used to be you said and we did, or even when it was you said and we didn't do it. But why didn't we do it? And what was the reason behind that? Because what you don't want to do is ever knock back, you know, great ideas. And if they're not an idea, why aren't they a good idea? The other thing that I'm hearing really from around the panel today is around, how do we break down these barriers? How do we, like, stop having these unbiased consciences? And for me, it's about everybody talking. It's about having those role models, having people out there that are telling the story all the time to encourage and to say that it's okay. And actually, females can have a great career in construction. And obviously, Sarah and I have both worked in the construction space as females and had successful careers. Similarly, Ian, from a charity perspective, you know, it is inclusive. And actually, we build our own barriers sometimes. And so it's males working within those charities, again, attending events like this, talking about inclusivity, that is going to start opening up the world to everybody.
I think the next question goes to David, doesn't it, Leanne?
Yes, it does. So, David, we've heard more diverse workplaces are better to work in, and that they include improved productivity. What do you think about that, and what's your experience?
Well, from a marketing perspective, probably more than any other business, diversity is absolutely essential. And it's really dictated by our diverse client base. So, you know, one week we're working in fashion, another in food. Next week it's construction. Suddenly we're into banking. And also we're working both nationally and internationally, and sometimes in up to 7 different languages. So we're not just talking, you know, to different sexes, different colours. Sometimes we're talking to completely, you know, different nationalities with, you know, completely different takes on products and buying structures and buying patterns. So really from day one, you know, over the last 30 years, we've tried to have a very diverse workforce. We've tried to maintain an equal split between male and female, but also something we've not mentioned so much today is also the variety in age. So my business ranges from 21-year-olds up to 60-year-olds. And that's absolutely crucial, you know, because if you talk to me about marketing to an 18-year-old girl about a new dress, I probably know very little. However, live in our office, knows absolutely everything, you know, when it comes to fashion. So it's, you know, it's absolutely essential that we're putting the right person on a project who can understand, you know, how to deliver and communicate with their audience. We've really tried to integrate that a lot. Also something, you know, that we've found, and we're hearing the word again and again here today, is education. You know, I come from a background of marketing and selling, and yet it seems less and less that we are marketing or selling. We're constantly educating. If we can educate people, the buying process becomes a natural process. So that's something that we're concentrating on an awful lot. And really to expand on some of that as well. I've just been doing some lectures at De Montfort University, talking to 19, 20, 21-year-olds, and really encouraging them to embrace diversity And again, across all communities, but also all age ranges. And what I found with a lot of the youngsters, they didn't understand me as an older businessman. They didn't understand my likes, my choices, my hobbies, my interests. And I'm really trying to get through to that younger generation, you know, that they've got to really embrace that diversity and understand, you know, across the whole board, you know, just how different we all are, but also how much we are the same. So it's yeah, as I say, it's forced upon us, diversity every day, and it makes us much, much better for it. You know, what we learn in fashion one day, we apply to a completely different business model another day. So yeah, diversity is key. And as I say, only helps us.
So the thing that struck me there is that the generational thing, you know, to ensure that we don't miss out on the opportunities of both listening to the, you know, as some of us, I'll never get old, but some of us, you know, put more years under our belt, you know, that we don't miss out on the opportunities to look, engage with and listen to the younger generation, but also we open up the opportunity so that they can come to us as well. And that's both community wise and a lot of the things that I do, but also in the workplace. So another sort of question that I've got for you, David, in terms of the work that you do. So we know it was about 2.5 years, nearly 3 years, when we had the murder of George Floyd in America. And it was such a visual thing. We were all in lockdown. The only things we had were our computers and our phones. So none of us were able to avoid that. So one of the things that that I saw sort of early on was a lot of marketing, a lot of businesses coming on board and trying to make changes so that what they put out is more diverse. Now, 2.5 to 3 years on from that, this is what I see. You can tell me if your perception is different, but we seem to be falling off in some regards to that diverse view. And I'm interested to see what you observed yourself in terms of your area of work during that time.
Yeah, we've spoken to a lot of clients about this, both with reference to race and also sexuality and things like that. And what I felt very early on was a lot of the support, a lot of the interest, a lot of it came across when you dug a little bit deeper as being really quite fake. You know, I think there's nothing worse than a company popping a rainbow on their bottom of their email signature just to say that, you know, we're sexually diverse, or, you know, or we're racially diverse. It can't be fake. And I think that, you know, that's the problem with marketing, where it does fall down sometimes when it's not real. So, you know, I think a lot of people were simply jumping on a bandwagon to look as if they were saying the right thing. And I think that's why what you've said, it's tailed off. Is because actually they didn't believe, or they didn't truly understand, or they weren't actually really well educated. They were just jumping on a bandwagon. And we're seeing it now, you know, we're seeing it currently with, you know, on a huge scale with Palestine. I'm seeing a lot of support for Palestine, but not always a lot of understanding of what's going on. You know, and again, better education would help. But yeah, there's nothing worse if it's fake marketing that's backed up by fake news. And as I say, I think, yes, there was a groundswell of support, but I don't think the people genuinely understood. And that's a shame.
Yeah. Thank you.
Keep it real.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that honesty. Martin.
You know, just you just struck a chord with me there, David, because I do have rainbows on my LinkedIn profile, and I sit around the breakfast table and listen to my children telling me how awful it is that these greedy corporate companies greenwash or do exactly what you say.
Yes.
And then I came across a LinkedIn post from a friend and someone who I used to work with who on Pride Day or a national celebration said actually how much she valued when companies did you know, indicate that they were, I don't know, lesbian friendly in her case.
Yes.
Because actually it meant she went in knowing she wasn't going to be targeted, knowing she wasn't going to be picked on, knowing that the way she chooses to live is okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And it suddenly struck me, I dismiss, you know, this putting a rainbow on or this as being tokenism, but sometimes tokens really matter. And I think it's really important, you know, and Gina, you alluded to this, it's really important that, you know, maybe I look at myself, I am a married, white, heterosexual, you know, whatever. But saying to people that that's okay, that's just how I live my life and how everyone chooses to live their life or how everyone else is born or how everyone else is, that's also okay. It's important that people don't play down their views because they don't want to be seen to be hypocritical, particularly when they're not being hypocritical. You know, yes. Someone else said it's about, Ian, you said about disability, people don't want to discuss it because they don't have the words, they're worried about being wrong. I think everyone needs to focus on their intent. And if you intend to do the right thing, you should have a go. Yeah. You know? Yes. And if you get it wrong, just be able to explain, look, this was my intention. I can listen, I can learn and do it better next time. I'll put my hand down and shut up now, shall I?
I think you're fine.
Sorry, good point there, though, Martin. And I think for me, it's like quite often we're fearful to ask in the first place. So if we come from a position of no knowledge or no education, we feel fearful to go and ask that group of people because of the consequences. And actually, I think it's about just embracing that and saying, I'm just trying to understand or I'm trying to increase my knowledge around, you know, why not? And, you know, from my experience of employing people from diverse backgrounds, like everybody, whether you be, you know, white, black, lesbian, gay, you all still have a different opinion. In your, you know, race, kind of sex or whatever. So, you know, it's embracing that as well, isn't it? So combined, overlaid with all of those things as well, is like we are all different and we're all individual, every single one of us, and we all want to be treated as individuals. And I think it's embracing those differences and really, but being able to explore them as well. And that's a bit I feel personally is missing today, is that we just don't ask the questions.
Yeah. Great point. Thank you. Thank you very much.
David, were you going to come in there?
Yeah. No. Okay. So, Tony, we're coming to you now. You, I know, in terms of the work that you do in HR, have a vast life of experience working with different organizations. So, not setting you up at all here. So,
thank you.
So, it's accepted, you know, that we all have biases. It's a part of being human. Mm-hmm. But how do you ensure that your own biases don't prohibit you from creating an inclusive culture in the workplace?
Yeah. I'm not sure I should spoil the myth here a little bit, but you know, I had this question in advance, and I'm not like a HR person to over prepare in any way, but I had a 10-point plan of how you would normally do this. I'm not going to share with you 10 points, but I am going to echo 6 of those points today. I can share with you afterwards. I can give you a handout that you might want to put on for your members. But actually, if I focus on some of the 6 points, which really sort of demonstrate the panel really we've got here today, in and how enlightened everyone is on this panel, because actually the 6 points that I highlighted have pretty much been focused on already today. So it's quite a good way of summarizing as well what we've all said. But to first of all, Sandra, like you say, you would have to recognize and acknowledge that biases do exist. Of course they do. We all have them. That's how we're made. However, understanding your own biases comes first, and how you then how those potential biases impact on others, your decisions, your interactions, your behaviours, how do they impact on others? That's the start for me. We've talked about education today. So that bringing in that continuous learning is so key. So having that ongoing education and training to understand different cultures' perspective, that unconscious bias, so that we can break down the fear that we're also so afraid of, in terms of whether it's panic, fear. We've talked about people's wanting to protect their organizations from risk and mitigate that. You know, that only comes through education and learning. we talked about promoting open dialogue and sort of encouraging those open discussions about biases and the impact that it has on your organisation. Martin, you talked about that and the fact that you have those open discussions all of the time, and that needs to be broadly done across organisations. We've talked about, I think, Sarah, you mentioned sort of feedback and having that feedback and accountability. That's definitely something in this plan that we should all build in, to say that, you know, feedback from colleagues and team members about biases they observe, and making it okay in the safe space that you talk about so passionately, to say that actually it's okay to give that feedback. It's okay to recognize something that you think is, you know, a bias that we should do something about. We only then learn how we want to behave better and how we can adopt our policies, our processes and procedures in order to support that. I think what I see in a lot of my organisations that I work with is fostering that inclusive leadership. So leaders should be able to promote and model that inclusive behaviour, and they set the tone for an organisation by demonstrating that commitment to diversity, inclusion across all, you know, we talk about protected characteristics all the time in my world, you know, by promoting the inclusivity of those, that's how we as leaders can impact on this. And then, Sarah, I have to say, I adore your organisation. I don't know it very well, but I adore it. You speak so passionately about it. But those regular assessments that you do in terms of the organisational policies, procedures, your employee net promoter score, I love that. That is something that should be on every engagement questionnaire. And, you know, all of those assessments are so key to assessing whether or not and evaluating whether we've got this right and how can we be better. And I think that's probably the 6 points I would talk about in order to do that. I did leave out four for time purpose, but, you know, sorry.
We will get that list and we will share it with our members and anybody that wants to have that list. Now, I'm conscious of time. I'm conscious we've only got 5 minutes left, but you've summed up amazingly well. We'll do this again and have you as the last question. You can No, absolutely perfect. I mean, I've personally learned so much about you all panelists as individuals and your organizations and the passion that you work with in terms of inspiring inclusion in terms of the words and the mentality of it, but also more importantly, in terms of the practicality and the behaviors of doing that. And, you know, there is nothing, in my opinion, that anybody has shared here that can't be done in any business, irrelevant of whether it's a small business or a large business. So that's really, really encouraging. We had one question that's not been answered. And this was to you, Leanne, and conscious that we have a limited time, but it's about you have worked in an area that is male dominated. What's your experience like? And do you think two things that a company can do to remove challenges for women and for other minorities? So I'm not sure if you can sort of answer that in a couple of minutes, Leanne.
I mean, I think for me, it goes back to what Sarah was saying. It's about establishing the company's values, isn't it? And about being inclusive and including, you know, females in within the leadership team all the way down throughout the organisation, and giving them a voice and a real voice within that business to be able to accelerate, and promoting fairly as well. So I think that comes then to succession planning, promotion within the organisation. It's also about females within the industry, within those male-dominated industries, to really come to the forefront and talk about their experiences openly and actually express how they're feeling. So when I was in construction, out of the company that I worked for, from a senior leadership perspective, 5% were females. So you were very, like, again, low representation. So what a lot of females then were doing at that point would be just to hold in their own views and feelings and not speak about it. And I think, again, it's back to that speaking about it. We have to communicate to be able to change. And actually, why shouldn't we be able to express, this is making me feel like? I mean, I would go to business meetings, networking networking events where you walk into a room of like, you know, 400 guys and they'd literally flip and stand back and go, oh my God, here she is. And now I'm really outgoing. So I will walk up to any group and go and talk to them. How many people don't feel like that and are more introverted and then just stand there on the periphery? So it's about, again, it's back to that inclusion, but actually telling your male colleagues how you are feeling. So I think that that's the first bit. I think the other challenges for me as well are like your own limiting beliefs, like, you know, work on those as well, because I think quite often we create our own limiting beliefs about our ability to be successful in a male dominated world. And I personally think that if you work on those and work on yourself, then there is the opportunity to push those boundaries as well.
Yeah, amazing.
And Sarah, I don't know whether you want to come in with anything.
Please
on that,
do, Sarah.
Obviously you're two in a construction industry, which is male dominated.
We have 2 minutes left, though, but go ahead.
I think I'd just keep it really brief. I think actually when I joined PCE, I went into some of the leadership board and I was the only female there. And actually, you know, when I first went in, the behaviours of those people in there, they weren't used to having a female in there. There was a lot of language and, you know, sexual connotations in terms of their jokes. And they very quickly realised that that had to change because the business was changing. And you know, having a female on that board actually brought a lot of value because I made them face some things that they wouldn't talk about themselves and brought things to the table that they wouldn't talk about themselves. And actually the change happened quite quickly. So I think, you know, businesses do need to recognise the value that having female board members and females in the business can bring in terms of that diversity and inclusion. And we're generally more comfortable about being open about our feelings. And actually we help, you know, males who are less comfortable about doing that to do that by kind of holding their hand and taking them on that journey with us.
Some really amazing points there. We have one more minute. I want to use that to say a huge thank you to all and each one of our panelists. What you've shared from your heart, from your experiences, has been absolutely wonderful and such a learning experience.
Thank you all. Thank you very much.